You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hello, this is a test. Hello, hello, this is a test. Hello, this is a test. Good evening, everybody, or good day. This is Faye speaking. I am on this platform for a while with some interruptions. And tonight I am going to start a kind of audios which I was preparing in the last year, also with interruptions. And the main topic will be the September 11th, 2001 provocatia by the perpetrators, which we somehow know, but also don't know exactly, in order to accuse them directly with their names. It's not possible, and it's not all. It's also not the aim of this podcast now. The aim of this podcast is to analyze some of the material of the event and to keep some of the records that have been produced in those times in order that maybe people in the future will be able to have access to and to research more, and hopefully there will be generations of curious human beings that are willing to spend time on such topics, which I think are very important for our lives. Well, I will not take much time to make an introduction, because I'm an anonymous person somehow in this surrounding, and this surrounding is the one that I have found until now that allows it to research about controversial topics of our time without expelling thoughts that are worth researching. And I think I would like to thank also those who make this platform possible, regardless who they are and what their aims are, which I don't know for sure, of course, because they are also anonymous. I'm going to start now by describing what exactly I'm going to do in this and also following audios that I'm going to produce. Regarding the events of September 11th, 2001 in Manhattan, New York, it is mostly consensus all over the world that it was a provocatia. A provocatia means it is an event, regardless what exactly happens, the event has an aim to activate resources and to overthrow the usual status of governance and the political, let's say, dispositive that is existing in that moment, in order to place another one, a new one. And this is, of course, for most of the world, it is absolutely clear. It was absolutely clear also on that very moment when the events were happening that whatever was happening, whatever the real dimension or the real facts of the event were, this event was putting so much power into the military structure of the Anglo-American, or possibly only American, or possibly European-American, or Middle East European-American military structure, which we know under the name of NATO, North American Treaty Organization in order to act to its own interest in the field of whatever Arab cultural or political context. That was the setting of this event. Whoever, I say now, regardless what exactly happened and who did it, the setting of this event was to enable and to activate the maximum of power for the military structure of the West against the cultural and political context of the Arab world in general. I'm not going now into details, and what is interesting now, and of course similar events have happened in the past, but the power of the media were not the same. The simultaneous addressing of the world as if it were next to one's door, let's say, was also not possible. We know that there were also wars have been started with fake events or with provocatias or with fictive events even. For example, the Gulf of Tonkin incident has nearly been in the mainstream history been accepted that it was no event. There was not even a ship in the Gulf of Tonkin which was the alibi for starting the Vietnam War. And many other, we have many, many other similar and such events. But the special thing with the September the 11th, 2001 event was that the media technology was so far developed that it was possible simultaneously to activate all the resources within the context, of course, where the NATO military structure has access. And this is the whole of the West, which means Europe, North and South America, North Africa, Russia, China, Iran, India. Practically, it's the whole world, because the media do not have their borders where the NATO has their borders. The borders of the NATO are the military borders. These are the countries that are within this organization. The media had already, and still of course have, already been set up worldwide through their channels that they have of course had more than 150 years to implement in all those countries. Just to tell a very interesting also example for those who do not live in Europe, the media in Germany, which is a country that is a participant of the NATO organization, of course, after the Second World War, so-called, where the control over the media in Germany is so deeply and complete by the NATO structures and by the overall military structure of the empire, let's say, whatever that means now. It just means that's more than the United States, and it's not only the military, it's also the banking system that is hanging upon with this structure, etc. The media in Germany do not exist outside of the NATO control. There are special organizations that have been created just after the Second World War, which are completely under the control of course, intelligentsia and academics and journalists and special expertise people, which take their orders and are being controlled directly from the NATO bases in wherever they are in Germany. I think there are more than five or something. Not sure exactly. So this is one important point about the 2001 events in Manhattan, that the international network that controls the information lines about important events was completely set up and had only to be activated. And this activation goes through the specific channels that are created. For example, we know all that Reuters and Thomson and all this traditional bourgeoisie enlightening media that were media structures that were created in the mid of the 19th century, the ideology which surrounded those.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
This could be by accident. That would be nice, but it could also be on purpose, which also is nice. Yes, I was saying that the traditional printed media network had very high standards and was allegedly propagating the ideology and the ideals of a free, democratic West, which is interested in the truth, which is trustworthy, which is caring about education, about the intellect of humanity, justice, and all these ideas that stem from the French Revolution and the German Revolution and all these events that we are told in school were happening in the late 18th and during the 19th century of, yes, 19th century. All these ideals were actually overthrown long time ago, before 2001. What I'm trying to say with this is it was not the moment of 2001, September the 11th, that actually overthrew these ideas. This was happening already during the 20th century, where we know from school two big world wars happened and the distribution of power and resources was being evolved by the West. And in reality, what was being executed in the world was the strengthening of the control mechanism of the banking system, which is, of course, essential for life. Without money, which is a technology in my understanding also, without the technology of money, you cannot have an internationalized world. You cannot even exchange the essential things that you need for life. So in a big world where you have transportation and international communications, radio in the beginning and telephone, etc., it is not possible not to have an international banking system. But of course it would be possible to have a fair international banking system. This was not the case. In my understanding, the strengthening of the structures of the international banking network and the strengthening of the international military network was working in order to preserve and to preserve those who were in power already since the late 19th century. And this was the new, let's say, United States Empire. The two so-called world wars were able to deal with the controversies within the empire, let's say, platforms. So I would say that the banking sector still has its main focus or its main point of power in London, while the military and media focus is in the United States. But after the Second World War, we have seen that there has been created also a third focus point for this empire structure, which is in Israel, where, as we know now, the logistics and the digital infrastructure is being transferred to the last 10-15 years. So the Western Empire is fighting to survive, within a bigger, within a world that is becoming bigger and which is becoming multifocal, as some people say, which means you have to take under consideration that there is also a Chinese Empire, quote unquote. You have to take under consideration there is also an Indian continent, which is bigger than Europe and Africa together or something. So this terrain of production and creation of the resources that we need for humanity, there is a big fight. It always has been, and it is a normal. This has to be said. It is normal to fight, but it is not normal, I think, to fight with unfair means. So this faded a little bit away because I was trying to explain that the consolidation of access by the empire to the international media networks, which are going then into the local societies and distribute the one line of truth, quote unquote, which the empire wishes, were not created in that moment. They were being in evolution since 150 years almost. But there is a very special thing about September the 11th, 2001, which is that this event was able to activate the simultaneous character that the new media had been able to establish. What do I mean with new media? I mean the technology of digital communications and the transfer of digital imaging, live, so-called, that means moving images, text, and all kind of media as we know it and as we knew it, were able to be transferred simultaneously. This was not the case earlier. You could have, and there were also technologies that were being used in, for example, in sports. It was possible to render film stills in order to recognize and to validate decisions that the guy in the middle was doing. I don't know the word in English, who is between the two groups that are playing football. And if he didn't see something very clearly, it was possible to repeat these sequences and to validate the decision. But it was not a live, let's say, event. It had a delay of some seconds. And this was a very important change that happened in the last, let's say, 20 years before 9/11, where you could have the transfer of let's say, of a military attack with missiles somewhere in the Middle East, and you could watch it live on your television. If I remember correctly, the first time that such live transmissions of real events, alleged real events, were being done was the first Iraq war in 91. This has been also analyzed by media scientists, what the parameters of these events were, but it has never been analyzed how it could be possible to use this technology in order to fool people, in order to say, there is a military attack there, but there is no military attack. That's also possible. And we know that because on 9/11/2001, this was the case. And maybe I am going to state this just in order to be understood by the listeners, the possible listeners, that in my understanding, there was no attack on 9/11. I think in this platform, it is anyway consensus that there was no attack. No attack whatsoever took place in Manhattan on September the 11th, 2001. But it was presented by the media and all the supporting networks, which is, of course, the military technologies of transfer of this information within their sections and in structures, so that there is no doubt about by those who are receiving this information that there is a military attack or some kind of attack on Manhattan and on the United States, which was not the case. Of course, this is a very... there can be said and discussed many points, many topics regarding this whole story that I now explained, just in my understanding with my thoughts. There are also different interpretations. There are different interpretations about what happened in the 20th century, etc. These are very big topics, and there are many people researching about these items. I think for me it is important, because what I am going to do and what I am going to present in this podcast and in the following ones, which I intend to do, is that I'm going to analyze some concrete material which was presented in the media on September the 11th, 2001, and I'm going to interpret it as good as I can with my expertise, which is that I studied, among others, I studied cinema analysis and moving imaging analysis. I'm not an expert in digital technologies or in Avid or in such stuff. I am just an image, let's say, interpreter. I was always more interested in the meaning of images and in their ability to affect individuals or groups or societies or whatever. So I'm not saying that my expertise is wow. Now this is absolutely the truth. I'm just stating that I really was always interested in images, and in this case I took the time to try to interpret these images of the 9/11 alleged events with all knowledge that I have, and I'm offering this for anyone who is interested to listen and to view, of course, also the images, which I'm going to put into the live stream notes. A little break and I will be back. Hello everyone, this is Faye speaking, and I am continuing now a presentation, the first part of a presentation. I would like to ask Arp if it would be possible to give this audio chat, if he's going to publish it, the title Fakeology Analysis of CNN 9/11/2001 News Coverage Breaking News. I have put these lines also in the live stream show notes. There is also the YouTube link to the channel called, let me give you the exact name, I think it's 9/11 News Coverage. You will find it if you click the link and go into the YouTube, and it opens in YouTube, and there is the whole news coverage from the morning of Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001. This video is also...
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time App does a show. Thank you for your support.
I'm reading now from the description of the video on the YouTube channel 9/11 News Coverage. From the morning of Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, CNN News Coverage. This segment begins where the previous video left off and continues through the first 10 minutes of coverage, ending at exactly 9 a.m. EDT, showing the first pictures of the WTC attack. Attack here in this text is without quotes, but it should be in quotes. Footage courtesy of the Internet Archive, no copyright infringement is intended. I'm going to discuss this now. frame by frame. I should better say sequence by sequence, because in this whole 10 minutes we do not have any actual event. We have all sides, but we will see this in the analysis. We do not have a real scene which is covered by a camera operator who is filming on the scene, and this is obvious by all aspects of the analysis which we are going to see. But first of all, I have to state that this is also the crucial point of the whole analysis of the alleged attacks in Manhattan in 2001 on September the 11th. Did this happen as shown, or did this not happen as shown? And of course, we can always say, I was not there, I don't know, and I will never know. But I think by viewing and being able to analyze the imagery of this so-called live transmission, which CNN did on 9/11/2001, we are able to understand that this is not a live transmission of an event. It is a staged, filmical scene which has used concrete technologies in order to produce these images. We cannot say with certainty, with 100% certainty, what exactly is this imagery that we are being shown, but we are able to exclude some of the possibilities, and this is enough in order to find out if this is a real scene or not. This is the aim of my analysis, and I'm trying to show this now sequence by sequence. The duration, as I said, of this part of the transmission of the alleged live event. So we have first to differentiate this also. We have, in fact, a live transmission. That means in that moment that we are watching the TV on September the 11th, 2001, at 8:50 seconds, we are watching a live transmission. This transmission is being transmitted in that very moment. But the conjecture to an alleged event that is happening in the same very same time is the crucial point. Is this transmission that is transferred and viewed as if it was a live event, is this really a live event? And how can we find this out by only being able to view these images? I have also to state that this analysis that I'm trying to make is not in competition with any other analysis. It's just I'm trying to add something, first of all, to our competence to view images that are being presented to us in the media, and to understand what is the aim of this image and which part of it is trying to convince me for something or against something. We know that images are a very strong medium. It affects emotions, and it is the definition of image is that it is a sign which is very close to an experience. There is no other definition of image. You cannot define it otherwise. I mean, you know, in the science of images, it's a very, very difficult topic. And so my aim is just to add something to my own and our own competence, maybe to understand media images that are shown to us. At the beginning of this video, you can follow my analysis, which I have on an Excel sheet, and I'm going to publish when I'm finished with the whole presentation. Maybe it takes me another 6 months, I don't know. But when I'm finished, I'm going to publish it as a some kind of whatever, maybe on a WordPress blog, or I don't know yet. But it's an Excel sheet where I have all these frames. I have extracted them from the video. You are able to follow because I'm giving you the exact timestamp. And I'm starting with the first image that we are receiving as a spectator on 8:50 in the morning watching CNN is coming to us after a fade to black. I describe what that means for those who don't know it, but have seen it empirically. We all know what it is, but we don't know exactly what it means. Before this alleged live transmission started, there was the usual CNN morning program with some people sitting on a round table or talking and saying the news of the day and having some advertisement and some jokes. I'm not sure exactly about what the CNN morning program is and was on that day. I've seen the previous 1 hour, and those who live there know it, but meanwhile, I think in every country there is some kind of morning program, which is entertainment and the weather and some news also, and some people that call in and are also on video and talk about the latest political stuff that is going on or about sports. So it's a very light morning program, which has, of course, also the target group of those who are at home in the morning. That means the older people. It has to entertain them a little bit, to take them the stress of the coming day without having a job or having to do a job or else. And the transmission of the coverage of the alleged events in Manhattan starts with a fade to black. That means the previous scene, which is in the studio with these guys talking about whatever topics they had, it fades to black. This is a sign of an abrupt interruption, which is not expected. It is similar to taking off the power of a device that is working with electricity, and it fades to black. That means we have now to pay attention. There is something very important coming. And what we see then is very, very strange. The first image that we see at the sequence time of zero, that means the transmission of the event has not yet started. The transmission of the event is at 1 second. And at the first second is when the transmission of the event starts. After the fade to black, we have in full screen screen, which we are viewing. It is a white computer screen from the old ones, which have depth. They are not flat screens. I think there were already flat screens in 2001. You can correct me on this, but I did not have a flat screen at my home. I had such a deep thing, compact something. This looks a little bit like the one I had. I'm not sure. There is no advertisement in this, about the screen at least. The screen is not black. The screen is, I'm describing the scene now, and you can follow it if you open the window, the YouTube video, sorry. This video screen is placed something like a desk. We don't see the contour of the desk. Behind the computer screen, we see something like sand or a beach, which goes out to starts sand colored and then goes over to white and then to light blue, which could be sea or sea and sky or something like that. So it transfers a very light atmosphere. On the left side of this computer screen, we see the leaves of a plant, which we suppose is somewhere out of the frame, somewhere out of the camera frame, and it is nigh touching the frame of the screen on the left side as we view it on the left. That means on the right side of the screen. The screen itself has another frame in it, which is a white frame with a cloudy shape in the middle, which is which says DTEC.com or DITEC.com, a direct lender. Maybe someone who lives in the States can analyze this for us at one point. Maybe it has a meaning which we cannot understand now because I have no idea what this is. It is, of course, an internet address. We see that it has a .com. DITEC could be a company, could be an invented name. We know for sure that it is not an accident because it is the fade. It is after the fade to black. Then comes this still, and then the event transmission starts. So it means something, and I don't know the meaning of it. I cannot fathom it. One approach could be that after the fade to black, which interrupts the usual way of living in an American morning and also in a European and world morning, because this is going to go worldwide in this second, after this attack with the black, which is the fade to black, we have this DTEC.com, a direct lender. So in my understanding, one approach could be that it is a reminder of the technological status that we are in. It reminds the viewer that what we are seeing here is, yes, we are interrupted your usual way of living this morning. There is no emotional appeal to the viewer. It is just a neutral, clean, clinical clean, we could say. We have this in the background is the sea and we have the flowers, but it is very clinical because of the white frame of this computer device or this screen device. It is DITEC, it is a direct lender. The wording in this image tells us you can be calm, we have everything under control, you will not be, this is important what we are going to tell you, but we are cool and we have everything under control, and it is of a high technological status. I think this could be an approach, but always in discussions with others who think about things, more things can be found out. So this is a very restricted now interpretation that I'm offering. Do we have anything else to say about this first image? We do not have any sound here. That's also interesting. We do have nothing that is acoustically receivable in this still. We do not have any narrator. We do not have any info about the location. This computer is very in the sphere of fantasy, let's say. So I think we now can go to the very, very first. I think I must say this. I have learned from September Clues that CNN was the... Maybe it was not from September Clues. I'm not sure anymore. Maybe it was from the TV 9/11 conspiracy TV channel where they had a comparison of many channels, and CNN was the first one to show the scene of the alleged events in Manhattan. So this has a big big emphasis now. It is the first image of the alleged events in Manhattan. It is in real local time, is 8:50. It's still the same time as in the previous image that we were talking about. The sequence time is now 1 second. It's the first second of the sequence that we are viewing, which, as I said in the introduction, is not a sequence. We do not have anything happening. A sequence in cinema is a part of the narration. Narration means people are acting, or even if there are no people, there are things moving, maybe trains or cars, or we have something else, a plane going from there to there. That could be a sequence. If we have a sequence where nothing happens, we do not have actually a sequence. But here we have still a sequence, which goes for 36 seconds, goes from 850 to 850.37, and it is all one image. And it is the image which you can view on the video that I put in the live stream show notes, and it shows us, I come now to the description, but first I want to talk about the transition. The transition in cinema, the transition means how do we come viewing a completely separate and new thing in the image frame. We are in the cinema and we are viewing some guys which are sitting on a park bench. And then suddenly we are viewing a shop where someone is buying a table. These are two completely different scenes. And how do we come from one scene to the other scene? This is called transition. And it is very important because transition makes the conjecture between two things that are happening, two events, let's say, or two things that humans understand as events. And it also separates them. So if we are viewing the guys in the park sitting on a bench, and then we view another scene where someone buys a table, our mind, we have only those two sequences. Our mind tries to find what does that mean? Why are these two sequences one after the other? What binds them together and what separates them from each other? So one hypothesis would be that these guys are sitting on the park bench while whatever the persons are that we are viewing buying the table, they're buying the table for the party that they all have tonight. We are trying to find, the human mind tries to complete an incomplete message. That's physical, natural law. And upon natural and physical laws, of course, also the cinema is being built. There are names for all this, and there are the guys that have understood this and have used it for good cinema and for propaganda cinema and for all kinds of things. I'm not going into that field now. I'm just trying to say here that it is important to understand also the transition. It is called transition, and there are also concrete types, I think it's better, it's correct. There are concrete types of transitions. It's not limitless. You cannot have limitless forms of transition. There are concrete types of transitions because you cannot bind filmic sequences whatever type you want. You cannot have it's not that it doesn't make any sense. You can just not combine them. So there are concrete types of transitions, and fade to black and fade in, which is now this one, are some of the standard types of transitions, which have also established meanings and established understandings. That means it's not about this is so because someone says it. It's so like that because our mind interprets it like this. As I said previously, for example, fade to black means power is out. What's going on? Is it a blackout? Or why do I have to pay attention? I have to take all my resources and to run or something. Fade to black. Also, it's fade, so it's not so strong. It could be worse. It could be just black. It would be the blackout. So here we have from the computer screen, which is first of all, by viewing this as a continuous, as a moving image, imagery, we do not actually realize that there was this computer screen. We realize this only if we repeat the viewing of this transmission. What I'm saying with this is, in that very moment when the transition started, of course, this is prepared. This does not happen per accident. If you fade to black and then have this still instead of another still, but the viewer does not perceive it because it is not important enough. What is going to come is important. After the fade to black, you have a clean cut with his computer, and now comes the important message. The important message, because it is called breaking news and it is interrupting the usual flow of time in New York and in the United States and in the world, in worldwide, it fades in. It fades in means that this computer screen, the image of the computer screen, gets lost. It gets lost because another image is projected over the previous image. And this new image that is projected over the previous image is becoming clearer and clearer while this image is fading in. So, in order to understand what this means, is that you have the projection of one image, and then you project a second one. Of course, this takes more than one, because every second in film has 25, or 26, depending on the technology, or 32, I think it's meanwhile. You project more and more clearly the image that you are trying to, with which you are trying to cover the previous one. This is the fade in. And the point, if you have a fade in of an image, this means that you are there already for a long time. So that means the camera, which is operating, and how is the word for making the making the images with camera? Aufnehmen. Take. The take is it is in. Yeah, they say the take, but I didn't know that you can say also the taking. So the camera that is doing the taking of this image, of this scene, it supposes that there is a scene, and that this camera that is taking this, doing the taking of this scene, is there also for a long time. And the emphasis is, it is there prior to showing the image. So the distance between showing the image on the receiver's TV in that morning, this difference from showing the image to the viewer and being there previously to being able to show the image, is the argument, is the strongest argument of this image that states, this is going on for a while, and now I'm able to show it. That's why it is very important that it fades in. If it just would cut over, that would be a hard cut as a transition, it would not mean this is going on for a long time. It could mean also, I'm just opening my operating modus now with the camera. I just arrived. But no, I did not just arrive. I am here. The camera is here some minutes. If we are talking about a long time, we mean about some minutes, because, as we said, the whole setup is to convince us that in the moment that they learned about what is happening there, they set up the camera work and are operating and are transmitting live and interrupting the prior morning piece of the TV receiver. That is the meaning of this fade-in transition. And I'm doing, I think, a break, and I'm coming back to the description of the image. Maybe some note. If someone is listening or would like to join me, that is very welcome. You can join me in the audio chat live stream. It would be also very interesting to talk about things, even if that means that the presentation that I have in mind can be delayed, because it would take more time. This doesn't matter. It is very interesting and very important to talk about this, I think. So I would appreciate it very much if someone wants to join me. And if there is anything programmed for tonight, please inform me so that I can cut in a meaningful way and continue another time. I'm doing a small break, but you will not realize it because the audio chat live stream stops when nobody talks. See you. Hello everyone, I'm back again. This is Faye speaking. I'm continuing now the presentation of this analysis of the news coverage of 9/11 by CNN. We were talking about the first now image that we were shown, mostly the people in the United States, I guess, but it was afterwards repeated endlessly in all media all over the world. I didn't watch it. I never watched any moving imagery of 9/11 until 2016 or 2015. I never saw anything of these, any of these moving images. I saw only the photographic or printed, let's say, imagery. But I guess it is possible that I wouldn't understand it in that time. I don't know. Okay, we are now at real local time 8:50, and sequence time is 1 second. We faded in from the previous image to the image that is now presenting to the viewer, to the spectator, the thing, let's say, that prompted the interruption of all other things in that morning. It has the status of an emergency that interrupts all usual flow of work, of television, of radio, of taxis, of whatever. Everything. It interrupts life. It is an emergency. And this is the image now that is shown to us in the, let's say, cinematic language. We would speak about an establishing shot, because this image that is shown to us establishes with the most accurate and complete information what is going to be the place and what are the parameters of what we are going to view afterwards, what is going to happen. So the establishing shot shows us the most possible of the scene, let's say. That's why the establishing shot is also a shot where all the action during sequences and the whole, let's say, film or movie story, we could better say, for the understanding of humans, it is a story. The establishing shot is like the anchor where you go back if you get lost in the whole meanings and the narrations and the antagonisms or the conflicts that are becoming bigger, etc. The establishing shot is, most of the time, the establishing shot transfers the whole meaning, actually, of what is going to happen and where is it going to go. So if you analyze the establishing shot, just watch out for some movies that you like, for example, and focus on what is the establishing shot. What are you shown? Are you shown a big city with dark lights, as it is in David Lynch's movies, or are you shown a nice landscape with some guy that is finding a skeleton? What are you being shown in the establishing shot? It's a very important image, and in this specific case, as we are going to see when we have analyzed the whole first hour, I don't want to create conspiracy fatigue or analysis fatigue to your ears, but this is actually my plan, to present the whole analysis of the whole first hour of the CNN and of the BBC transmission on September the 11th, 2001. So, as we are going to see, and I saw it already because I did this analysis, the establishing shot for the transmission of the alleged events in Manhattan are actually the whole thing. There is nothing else. There is only the establishing shot. There is nothing else. The establishing shot actually tells us here is it where it's going to take place. This is the big narration frame, let's say. We are here in Texas, or we are here in Berlin, or this is the World War II, or we are in a village in Turkey, and this is a beekeeper, or whatever. Here we have the establishing shot, and it's the whole narration already. There is nothing else, with some very few exceptions, which also, if we continue in the interpretation and discussing of the imagery, we will see that they are completely dissoluted from the whole narration. What are we shown? What are we shown as an establishing shot on CNN at 8:50 September the 11th, 2001? We have the frame is I have to watch it again. Just give me a second, because I'm not absolutely sure about the dimensions, about the analogy between the frame and the image in the middle. Just give me a second.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
We accept the reality of the world with which we're presented. It's as simple as that.
Yes, and it's true. There was my instinct was right. The copy that I have, the stills that I extracted from the video, have a very broad right and left black part, which is not so broad in the original television transmission. But maybe we should have someone also who viewed really in that very second transmission, so that we know what is the width of this black parts framing the image. I'm describing it now with my English as good as I can. We have a black frame, which on top, that means the horizontal top frame, is a little bit, maybe one third smaller in width of the two vertical black parts that are framing right and left of the image. Please compare it with the image itself. It has, I repeat it, the top horizontal is one third, it's black, and it's one third in width of the black and black parts that are framing the right and the left of our image that we are viewing. And one fourth of the image, the lower part of the still, the lower part of the image that we are viewing, has a so-called panel, I think is the word, or banner maybe is better, but I'm not sure if this is an English word also. There is a banner that is also black on the lower part. About one third of it is black, so we have one third of the whole image is the banner, the lower one fourth. Then we have right and left black and top black, so it is completely framed into black, but right and left are three times the top horizontal black part. And in this banner now, we have a very interesting composition. The banner, let's split it into two parts. We have the lower part, which is completely black and has the futures of the Dow Jones Index, which is 25, is the Dow, and the NAS is 550, and the S&P is 020. And there it stops, and then comes the time, which says 8:49 AET, Eastern Time, I guess this is, and 49 is the time that they are giving here, but we know that it is 8:50, because this is the time that this video has published also. I'm sorry? As the transmission time, I don't know what this small a means. On the left side, in this banner, and on top of the black, on top of this logo, we have now a black triangle. A black triangle which continues to the left part. Then we have interesting colors. We have dark orange, black, brown, light orange. We have stripes that go over to white, magenta, brown, white, white. On the right side where we have the CNN Life logo, there is much white around the CNN, and then on right of the white there is a violet and magenta, how you say it in English? Magenta, which is emphasizing that this is life. It is an image of, we know these banners are moving also. I do not now watch the moving image. I only watch the images that I have extracted. But if you watch it, you see that this banner has moving colors. It goes from left to right. Left to right in cinema means it is the real time flow. Real time flow is left to right, and the opposite of real time flow, which is maybe the past or whatever, the dream, goes from right to left in cinema. It's also the same structure with the rooms in cinema. Anything that comes from left comes from outside, and anything that goes out of the frame on the right goes outside. And these are the conventions that we are used to in order to at all understand what they are shown, what they are being shown. So this banner has moving images from left to right, which means this is actual, this is life, this is now going on. And it is also very alarming, because it has the alarming colors of violet and magenta and white. The contrast is very strong. And of course it says breaking news. Someone could interpret maybe original Simuland. I don't know. I always thought he knows such stuff. But I think the phones that they are using, breaking news, is something antique, something, I don't know exactly what that could mean. It is not, the CNN phones are very postmodern, let's say. And also the Life is the Nivea phones, I call them. It's very clean, clinical clean Life, CNN postmodern role. And breaking news is the reference of these phones are the traditional print media. I don't know exactly the name of these phones. I didn't analyze this yet, but they were used in the printing media, and we know that in earlier times, before the offset industry, they had to create, they didn't have such a palette of fonts. And one of the very important aspects of the traditional printed media was that they are serious and sovereign, as I tried to explain in the beginning. They are transferring the most truly and justful truths to the reading people. And one of the signs of this of this industry was that the fonts. So if we see it also today, when we have fonts that are using some Book Antiqua, or I don't know, other such, Garamond is also one very special type of fonts which are used in serious academic publications or such stuff. It refers to this seriosity of the Enlightenment era and ideas of truth and justice and brotherhood and whatever. And of course it is only the reference. But these are the phones that they are using now, something antique. I don't know exactly the type, what's the name of these phones. And it says breaking news. So in this establishing shot, I repeat it just in order to find my flow again. In this establishing shot, we are shown an image that is framed black, where the down part is more black than the other surrounding peripheries, and 1/4, maybe even a little bit more. I didn't measure it exactly, but 1/4 for sure, and a little bit more, is the banner saying breaking news, and that is the establishing shot. What are we shown now? What is the rest of the image? What is the real scene that we are being shown? It means if we take away the banner and the black frame, we are being shown shapes of buildings which are recognizable for the spectators at least all over the Western world. I cannot guarantee for Iran or China or the Mongolia or even New Zealand, maybe, although they are, of course, part of the Western structure. But for the population of the Western world, this is a recognizable skyline. We recognize the skyline of Manhattan. It has been printed on posters prior to the time that we were able to have anything on the computer. We could buy it on posters, not this perspective or vantage point, but a different vantage point. It is recognizable. It is recognizable, maybe one of the top 5 recognizable skylines. There is Sydney, there is Shanghai, there is maybe Berlin. No, not as a skyline. There are other symbols of Berlin. There is, what else do we have really as skylines? I don't know, but Manhattan is a skyline that is very well recognizable. And we are viewing this this vantage point onto the scene of Manhattan, and everyone recognizes what it is. It is there where the World Trade Center is. That's the logo for these two big buildings that are standing in that part of New York. But let's see now what we are being shown more detail. This is what we are recognizing. We are recognizing, we are being shown Manhattan and the World Trade Center. In Europe or even in other, let's say, first world countries, which do recognize this as Manhattan and New York, it's the World Trade Center. Yes, we can see it, but we don't know exactly what are the other buildings. We cannot recognize anything of the other. Maybe the New Yorkers can, or maybe all Americans can, or maybe even people that have to do with trade or with finances or with whatever, where the center of these exchanges are. Have to do with it. They can recognize it, but the, let's say, medium Western spectator, or how can I call it, does not know what are these other buildings. So we don't know this is building 7 down on the left. We don't know which other buildings are there by their names. And I personally still don't know what are these buildings. But we are able to see the shapes of these buildings. That's the only thing we can recognize. Actually, we are not even sure this is a real image of this scene that we know as Manhattan. We do not have any evidence of that this is really Manhattan. If someone wants to, if we see in movies when we are being convinced, for example, that someone is sitting in, let's say, in Paris, in the Louvre, this big, very, very important museum, which was a palace earlier in time. And if a director wants to convince us that this person is sitting now in the Louvre, he makes a shot of the Louvre, then he makes maybe a shot of the interior, and then he makes a shot of a person that is sitting there or standing there with some detail which also refers to the Louvre. So we have evidence, cynical evidence, not real evidence. This is also not real evidence. We know that most of these cinematic scenes are not even shot at on location, as they say, but they are shot in the studio, but they use these techniques in order to convince us this is now there, this is now there. In cinema, they do not have to convince us. We accept it as a convention, as a narrative convention, that if we are shown someone who the movie teller tells us he is now in the Louvre, we don't say, oh no, this is not the Louvre. We say, okay, that's the story. He is in the Louvre, he's drinking coffee, or he's waiting for his mistress or something. So this is important. Here, we do not have any cynical, I emphasize it again, it's not about having real evidence that this is Manhattan. It's about having cynical, cinematic evidence that this is Manhattan. We do not have even cynical evidence that this is a live shot of Manhattan, because we don't see anything that we can recognize clearly in the tile. It can be, as it is very often in cinema, it can be a created scene which is projected with different dimensions and projected whatever, with so-called models, and it can be also just a painting. It's so unclear and without detail that it could be, it's like a graphic. It's not even like a comic. It's not to the eye of the spectator, to the used and trained eye of a cinematic spectator, this is not convincing as a scene. If you see, for example, so many movies have scenes of, cities that do not exist. I'm not referring to Gotham City or such stuff. I'm just referring to cities that do not exist, that are imaginary. We have cities on other planets that allegedly are being shown, or we have cities that are completely out of the imagination of the narrator and the director of the movie. And even if those cities do not exist in reality, the cinematic language is able to convince us, for the convention of this movie being shown, take this as real. And the mind is able to take it as the narration reality in this movie or film or sequence. It's a very strong language. It has to convince us, and it does, because it is able. Film is able to convince us. Can you now trick your mind and say that Dinotopia is a real city? Okay, Dinotopia is real. It has so much detail. It is so realistically shaped. It has the shadows that are needed. It has the light that is needed.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yes, I was saying, and I repeat this again, the cinematic or the moving image technology is able to convince us if a scene that we are shown is real. And any medium-trained spectator of moving images in 2019 is able to recognize this first imagery that is shown to us on CNN not as real. This is not a real shot of Manhattan. I say this because, of course, in 2001, it was not shown to all the populace of the world. It had to convince the immediately affected This means it had to convince the immediately present in the United States, not in Manhattan, because we don't know what exactly happened there, if it was full or empty or whatever. But it has to convince the spectators in the immediate sphere of influence of the media and media network. It means it had to convince in Paris, in London, in Berlin, in Rome, in Spain, in Portugal, in Greece, in Moscow, in China, in India. We don't know exactly. Maybe they were also in, but it had to convince them, and it was able to convince them, because the medium education of the spectator in 2001 was not the same as today. We have also this difference when we view imagery of Hiroshima today. We just say, wow, what? How was I able to be convinced about the truthfulness of this imagery? Or we are shown whatever event as from previous times, and we say, wow, this is, why did I believe this? Why did I believe that this image is showing a real, whatever, a real disaster of a car? There are many, many examples. And viewing this today, it is obvious that this is not a real scene of this city. It is more like an impressionistic representation of Manhattan. And one of the reasons that this image shown to us in the live broadcast does not have much detail or clearness of shapes or much information, it is a cold image, as McLuhan would say. It is actually okay, the imagery is not cold as a medium, but I would say it is cold because it doesn't have much information. You cannot see anything. You cannot see the time of the day. It could be 5 in the evening. It could be 5 in the morning. It could be late in the afternoon. It could be during the day, but it is going to rain immediately and it is a little bit darker. So it is very diffuse, if this word is acceptable in English. It is unclear. It doesn't have a detail. And in my understanding, the reason for this is to transfer to the spectator the extraordinary character of the modus of the camera operation. If this was taken, and we know that the big media have enormous capacities with their cameras, they couldn't, in order to produce such a low quality image, they have to work very hard. Believe me, they have to work so hard in order to reduce the capability of their instruments, of their gear, or how is the word, machines. So it has a reason, of course, and the reason is to emphasize the extraordinary character. If you have if something is prepared and the media have to avoid the association that, hey, you produced this in the studio, eh? In order to avoid the hypothesis that could arise, they have to produce it in low quality and diffuse character, and so to emphasize that this is very extraordinary, it is unprepared, it is raw, it is unfiltered, it is pure, raw reality. It has also the character of a black and white imagery, which is also an emphasizing argument for the rawness. We know this also in the cinematic language that we are used to as perceivers, as spectators. When we have scenes that are black and white, let's take an example. I think it was in Born to Kill, or Natural Born Killers, I think it was. Natural Born Killers had this switch between full color, colored, and black and white. And it is used also by other directors as a stylistic method to differentiate between raw reality and staged reality, or imagination and rawness of the real life and such stuff. So in order to, and in this image that we are viewing, it's this, as I said, very first frame of this emergency that occurred on September the 11th, we have an image alluding to rawness of reality and of the event itself, of course. It's also described as raw. But let's see now what exactly is what we are shown. And would we be able, if there was no sound, no description, would we be able to understand this as an emergency? Do the test for yourself. Just view this first image of this live broadcast by CNN on that day, and just do it without sound, or even stop it, because it's more intense if it's still and not moving. I must say, for myself, by viewing just this image, I do not see any emergency in the scene itself. I see all the signs of an emergency. I see the black frame, which is referring to death and to seriousness. I am seeing the breaking news banner. I'm seeing the colors that are changing, and I'm seeing the high end of the spectrum with violet and white, which is alarming. But in the scene itself, I see different shades of gray, different levels of gray, or shades of gray, and I see these buildings that are in the city, and I see, actually, I don't even see two towers, if I'm not knowledgeable about that these are two towers, because they are in this vantage point, we see them as being together. It could also just be the middle line in this, just a line in one building that is a little bit bigger than the others. It's maybe double than the building completely on the left, and it's also a little bit higher than double of the one that is down there, which is allegedly building 7, I guess. So it is not even an impressive image of the towers. It's there is something black there, something which is not really black. I have to emphasize this also. It is not really so black that I can see that, wow, there, I have to look there. Where do I have to look on this picture? Where is the emergency? There is a blick, there is something coming out of some hole, which is dark gray and more light gray, and then this alleged or represented, this not alleged, this represented smoke fades into the represented sign of the sky that is there, but there is nothing that is creating the sense of emergency. So if I don't know what I'm shown here, I just say, wow, that's not a very nice picture, it's ugly, it's not, if this is Manhattan, I don't want to go. You know, if you want to buy a poster of Manhattan to hang it on your wall, this is not the one. It's not interesting. You don't see anything. You don't see lights. You don't see contrasts. It's very low contrast, really. And as I said, I think the reason for this is double. The reason is, first of all, to not being able to recognize that this is not real imagery of Manhattan. And the second one is to be able to transfer the sense of this is an emergency. We didn't film it prior to the moment that we are showing it. It is raw. We didn't have the time to make all the filters or the camera position. This is just bullshit, because every single one of the cameras that they use is able, and the operators, of course, also they can shoot everything immediately, and they have the know-how for they just don't have to do anything. These cameras are full automatic. They have to adjust some stuff, but If you have the news operators, it's everything. Everything is adjusted all the time. They run around and they're able to film everything. But this is here not the case, because it has to be unprepared. It has to be clearly unprepared and allegedly raw. So, of course, this is the this makes, of course, as we can understand, the audio line. I don't know if line is the name in English. In the audio spur. So in film you have, of course, the imagery and you have the things that you are listening to, and this works together in order to convince us about something, in order to create the effect that moving images create, which is to represent things like life. What is life? Moving and sounding. If it only moves, either you're deaf or it's not life. If it only sounds, it could be something else. It could be radio. It could be... But if it is... If you are shown... being shown traffic and it sounds also, it's life. And so the importance of the audio line is very, very big. It's very big. It's so big that there has been a whole school in cinema studies that is studying the relation of the audio sphere for cinema as a real affect creating psychology. So it's saying this is not that you are not being affected by cinema. It affects your heart, it affects your liver, it affects your blood pressure. It's not that you are sitting there, because the traditional schools of cinema say, yeah, you just sit there, you are so passive, you are receiving everything, you're like in mother's womb. It's a regress to the origins of your own life. That's why you are so perceptive. That's why it catches your imagination and stuff. But no, it's not only that. It's affecting you directly. And it's affecting you through your ears. And your ears affect everything. It affects your body. So it's a bodily experience. And the importance of it in cinema is very, very big. And in this concrete now transmission of live, of CNN live broadcast on 9/11/2001, it is, as we can understand, even more important, because there is nothing that we can see in this image. We don't see the emergency. We don't see. We don't see what's this about. We wouldn't understand it. They interrupt the usual flow of our lives in the morning. We would like to drink coffee. We would like to talk about football. And then there comes we fade to black. Then we see a computer. Then the guy comes. Then the scene comes. And we don't see anything. What is it? What is it about? So we have to go to the audio line to understand what we are shown here. This is a very, very strong argument of mine, that the whole thing is not a real, not even a real shot of Manhattan. We had the strong arguments also in the image analysis itself, but this is also now an argument, a supplement argument, that all the information, if you have image, most of the information is the image, because image is the medium that affects you with more senses. But in this we don't see anything. So the importance is on the acoustic level of the information. And the acoustic level of the information has another surplus. And this is that it has the significance of, of an order. For example, if you are being shown in a movie, if you are being shown the image of a sign, of a traffic sign that says stop, that's a signification for attention. Now there comes something. Huh? The car has to stop or is going to stop. But if someone in a movie just says to another one stop, This is a direct order. This is a direct order. It affects your ears also directly. And the example was not good enough to explain what I'm trying to explain, but I cannot find it now. So just to remind that prior to the television as a medium for information flow and information impregnation and control, we had radio, and radio was able to directly transfer important information into the center of your living, in your living room, and everyone was close with the ear to hear what is the BBC saying about the Second World War, and what is the BBC saying about, I mean, there are other corporations also, but I'm now reminding only some examples. There have been analysts that are alleging, I think is the word, or arguing that such guys like big dictators that we had the unfortunate fortune to experience in the last century were not able without the radio, because radio was the medium that was able to transfer the direct voice of the leader directly to your ear. You know, you are not actually able to see the king in prior centuries. There's no king coming to you telling you to do something, but with radio, the king comes to your ear, or I don't know, a dictator comes to your ear, or the general, or the commander, or whatever. So, by transferring the importance of the information in this live broadcast to the audio line, it also is a reference to this is now the plain truth. So even if you have some doubts because the image is not so clear, and you know that we have good cameras, the reason why we couldn't do it better is we were not prepared, but now you will get it. You will get the plain truth when we are telling you what is going on. We are telling you what you do have to believe, because you cannot see it. And it's true, we cannot see it. The question is now if we want to believe it when they say it. And, yeah, that's up to everyone else now to meditate. But let us go to what is this audio line doing. We saw that in the first computer still that we had, which was directly after the cut to the usual flow of time. We faded to black, then we had the computer still, then the scene of Manhattan faded in and presented us the establishing shot. And let us see now, what is the audio line, what is the acoustic line doing in that moment? And we have no sound other than a voice. That is important to know. If we are talking about audio line, we have many options, of course, which are very standardized in moving image stuff, or movie or cinematic, as we call it. It is important if it is off-screen or on-screen. That means if there was a reporter woman in this scene that we are shown, it would go closer to the buildings, and there was a reporter woman on the street or whatever, this would be on-screen, but we do not have on-screen anything here. We have off-screen, the voice of a reporter. We do not have any other sound. That's very important, because actually if the camera is near the scene, there would be much noise of the scene. Let me verify this, because this impresses me myself now. By saying it, but I'm quite sure because I have written everything down. Yes, we have. Yes, it's really true. I can't believe it. I still can't believe it that this was so that we were all so easily fooled. Because this camera allegedly is in a very big city, and it is filming and live transmitting a scene from a very noisy town. It is not midnight, it is 8:50 in the morning. So even if the camera had is very far away, there would still be much, much, much noise, whatever noise. Even the voice of, diffuse voice of the city, this voice would be an argument for the life status of this imagery. But there is no other noise in this first sequence, which, as I said, goes 36 minutes, other than a reporter woman, which I don't know yet the name of her. I have to go to September Clues to find this infos out. In my analysis, I didn't have the time to go and compare with other researchers, but I'm going to complete it one day. So for the moment, it is a reporter woman. She is off screen. The location of her is unknown. We have no other sound. Let me see what we have. We have diffuse acoustic elements, not real noise, but as if the reporter woman was in a studio. We hear some papers rustling, or what is the word, but not very loud, very, very distant. You have to pay attention to get that there is another small noise. But we don't have any noise from the city where the camera allegedly is, and the reporter woman, the voice of the woman is now, I think it's not a coincidence that it's a woman, because women are the alarmists of our race. They are alarming all the time, the male humans, to do this or do that. We need this, we need that, we have to survive, we have to... I'm now speaking in, let's say, primitive terms, quote-unquote, not that this is the case, but it is the alarming voice, the woman voice, and all the gravity of this information is now laid upon this voice, and it is interesting to hear. I cannot now play it, but I am going to read it. She is pretending in that moment to be embarrassed, or she was not prepared. That's what I mean. Embarrassed means something else. She was not prepared to say this. She says, this just in. You are looking obviously at a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that the plane has crashed into one of the towers. That's the text she's giving us, and by listening to it, it lays upon this imagery that we are viewing, which is completely artificial. I beg you to repeat this for your own experience, to view it with the eyes of a imagery educated person in 2020 almost. Just view this first scene of the live broadcast of CNN, and you will see this looks like Lego. This looks like Playmobil, or especially the light, the contrast in the buildings is completely artificial. This is not a real scene of a cinematic camera, not even of the cheapest one which existed in those times. If you would take this with your handy camera of those days, it would be better. So she is informing us what we are seeing, and this makes, of course, also sense, because with the voice and with the direct order that she gives us to take this as the reality, it's no doubt that what she is telling us now is what we have to understand in this image. What she says is, first of all, this is just in. So we are all in an alarm modus. The spectator of the television was already in an alarm modus because he was interrupted with his morning program. Then he had to. He was shown a clinical a computer. Then he was shown something that he cannot understand. And the woman that is speaking has to tell us she was also interrupted. That is the reason why she says, yeah, this just in. And she does not say, you know something, this just in, Something happened in downtown Manhattan and we are going to find it out. No, she starts with you. You are looking. You are looking. Don't have any doubt. We are not showing you what we see. We are showing you what you are looking. This is very, very manipulative language, but it's professional manipulative language. So it's really crass. You are looking, obviously, at a very disturbing live shot. Here is the order to feel disturbed. So the order is, don't have any doubt what we are showing to you. You have to look at this as that we are showing you. And you have to feel very disturbed because this is a live shot. And this live shot has to disturb you. That is the World Trade Center. If you didn't recognize it because you live in Beijing or in Berlin or because you just cannot see it because the camera didn't is in the 40s and outside. I think in the 40s it was already outside possible. It was 29 when the camera started to move, and they moved outside and stopped producing everything in studio. Maybe it was even earlier, but in the 40s it was for sure. So if you have any doubt that this is the World Trade Center, because you are an American, we're telling you this is the World Trade Center. And we have unconfirmed reports. Emphasis here is on we have reports. They are unconfirmed, but this is secondary information. We have reports, although they are confirmed, we have them. This morning, that a plane has crashed into one of the towers. Okay. I think I did enough commentary in order to explain what the general style or philosophy or thinking style will be in this analysis that I'm going to do with the live transmission of CNN on 9/11/2001. I am ending this now for today because it went too long for a usual listener today, and I'm going to continue. I hope that will be able to publish prior to the time when I'm going to be in the live stream so that anyone who likes can join me. Have a nice evening. You are listening to Fakeologist.com, and I thank UP for the opportunity to be here and to present my thoughts and my material. Be well.
That's all, folks.